As I have said the last few weeks, these Sundays after the Epiphany focus on how God is revealed, how God is made known to us. In these weeks, we are focused on discovering who Jesus is, learning about his nature, his mission, particularly as we see Scripture unfold. In today's lesson, Isaiah experiences the presence of God. Isaiah has a vision. And in that vision, he sees the Lord sitting on a throne high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Heavenly beings attend God, and there are seraphs who proclaim, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." I hope those words are familiar. Oh, good, I see nods. Good. Because we say those, they're ancient words, but we say them at every Eucharist. Every Eucharist we say or sing the Sanctus, which echo those words from Isaiah. It is the central hymn of our liturgy, and it comes just before God is present in the bread and the wine of the Eucharist. When Isaiah hears the seraph proclaim these words, it is a frightening experience. We're told the thresholds of the temple shake. The temple fills with smoke. Isaiah is filled with dread and with fear and says, "Woe is me! I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." In response to seeing God and seeing the worship of the heavenly host, Isaiah is filled with a sense of his unworthiness and filled with a sense of the unworthiness of his people. He is aware he is not as holy as the Lord God is holy, as the one who is seated on the throne, who is high and lofty. I have to be honest, I share Isaiah's sentiment. Like many priests, this lesson was read at my ordination. And I remember feeling in a poignant way how unworthy I am in the awesome presence of God, feeling inadequate to the vocation to which God was calling me. I remember in my prayer that morning before going to the cathedral, expressing to God great hope that God knew what God was doing. Because I sure didn't feel it made sense for God to call me to be a priest, the fallible creature that I am. But it's interesting what happens after Isaiah expresses his fear, his sense of unworthiness. This vision certainly shows the immensity, the transcendence of God, but I think it also shows how God pays loving attention to humanity. The way that God offers us just what we need at the moment we need it, when we are experiencing the glory of God. In response to Isaiah, God sends a seraph who touches Isaiah's lips with a hot coal taken from the altar. And the seraph declares, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out." Through this action, Isaiah is purified. He is healed. His guilt is removed. The transformation, in fact, is so complete that then Isaiah goes on to move from his sense of woe, his sense of unworthiness, and to answer God's call to be God's prophet. He goes so far as to say, "Here I am, send me." And so it is that Isaiah is sent forth by God to proclaim God's word, charged with calling the people back to God. It's true that many ears will be deaf to Isaiah's proclamation, but Isaiah is faithful. He continues to proclaim God's word. He continues to speak God's word to the people. This passage reveals God to us as inspiring awe, as worthy of our adoration, full of glory and even beyond our comprehension. But at the same time, this passage also shows how God is in relationship with humanity, how God is aware of our needs, and how God is willing to meet us just where we are. Though we are not perfect, though we do not always live faithfully, despite the reality that we are not holy as God is holy, yet God uses us. Uses us in our frailty, in our imperfection, uses us to do God's work. In the collect today, we prayed, "Set us free, O God, from the bondage of our sins, and give us the liberty of that abundant life which you have made known to us in your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ." These words are a fine summary of God's intention for us, of how God wants to set us free from anything, everything that separates us from God and from our neighbor, from ourselves, and from creation. God wants us to find freedom in the abundant life that God offers. God calls us away from our doubts, our hesitations, our reservations, calls us to leave behind our unworthiness and sinfulness, and to move into the life that God prepares for us. In our gospel today, Peter is also having some struggle after he experiences God's revelation in Jesus and senses his own unworthiness. In this early part of Luke's gospel, we hear how Jesus is full of the Holy Spirit. He was teaching in the synagogue full of the Spirit, how the Spirit has sent him out into the world to proclaim God's word through his actions as well as his words. And in today's passage, Luke tells us the crowds are pressing in on Jesus. They want to hear more. And so Jesus gets in Simon Peter's boat and teaches from the shore. After teaching, Jesus asks Peter to take his boat out into the deep water and put down the fishing nets. And I have this image of how Peter answers, because Peter says, you know, we worked all night, but if you're asking, I will do it. I think there's some sense of Peter's weariness, his resignation after a fruitless night of hard work. Maybe he feels reluctant to do this again. But despite this, Peter does as Jesus asks. And this time could not be more different. There are so many fish, the nets are straining, the boats are sinking. There's an abundance of fish unlike the night before. And Peter knows something profound, even miraculous, has happened. This catch is not about luck. Like Isaiah before him, Peter responds by expressing his unworthiness. He says to Jesus, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." Peter glimpses who Jesus is. And in the divine presence of Jesus, Peter feels the weight of his sin, his frailty. But Jesus doesn't leave Peter there. Jesus doesn't condemn Peter, but in fact reassures him. He says, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." Jesus sees Peter in his full personhood, does not judge Peter, but instead invites Peter to be transformed, invites Peter to live in a way he has never lived before. And Jesus does so with an image that Peter can relate to. He's going to move from fishing for fish to fishing for people. This ordinary encounter with the fishermen Peter and James and John changes their lives forever. They glimpse a revelation of who Jesus is. They experience the miraculous promise that the hopeless, the fruitless, can be transformed into promise and abundance. Their experience of Jesus is so profound that Luke tells us they leave behind everyone, they leave behind everything. They even leave behind that great abundance of fish they just caught, and they go follow Jesus. And we know how Peter gives the rest of his life to being a disciple. We also know he doesn't, like us, he doesn't do this perfectly. There are times he fails, But he keeps going. He commits to following Jesus. He gives his entire life to Jesus. And in the end, like Jesus, he is crucified, suffering a martyr's death. And it is through Peter's labor, through his witness, that so many after him have come to the promise of abundant life in Jesus. In fact, here we are this morning, so many generations after Peter. Both Peter and Isaiah experience a revelation of God that changes their lives. They both feel keenly the ways they're not worthy of their calling, and we're told they know fear. Maybe at times they feel inadequate, but they trust God. They accept the healing presence of God's love, and they give their lives to following Jesus, living as best they can the vocation that God has called them. Like them, so to us. God is revealed to us. God is made known to us in Scripture, as in the lessons this morning. God is made known to us in the gathered community of the church. God is present when we least expect, in very ordinary moments of life. Like Peter, we can one day be at work, maybe feeling frustration, feeling fruitless. And in the midst of that, God is present. God comes among us with love, with acceptance, even abundance. And in response to God's presence, we are invited to respond by following. And there's no doubt the cost of discipleship is great. It requires hearts that hear and obey God's call. It asks that we repent of the ways that we fall short of God's love. It calls us to be persistent, even fearless, to risk everything by pulling out into the deep waters, those places that are frightening, but those places where growth and transformation can happen. Answering the invitation to follow requires that we give everything up to walking with Jesus. But this complete surrender of our heart and of our will comes with the promise of a life we can scarcely hope for, we can hardly imagine. Today's gospel miracle, the abundant fish, has from the earliest time of the church been understood as evoking the Eucharist. Fish, of course, are for food. Peter's nets hold more fish than one can hope. This is a lavish feast. It offers more than enough for all people. God's loving generosity provides food for everyone. The fish become a powerful image of how God satisfies our hunger. God comes among us in the bread and the wine of the Eucharist and fills us with the loving presence of God. This heavenly food is freely given. We do not earn it. It is God's generous and lavish gift to us. And it is the gift, the only gift, that can satisfy our deep longing and need. All the ways that we are unfulfilled or empty or longing to find something, all find their satisfaction in Jesus present in the Eucharist. And so I find this gospel passage and its promise comforting in this difficult time. We live in an age of fear and anxiety. Division and hatred afflict our nation. Too many people are vulnerable and worrying about their rights and personal safety. The challenges before us are great, and the solutions elusive. We wonder, what can we do? How can I, as a single solitary person, confront the powers, the principalities of this world? Who am I to effect change? And yet, we have Peter, we have Isaiah, we have the promise of Jesus to be with us in challenging times, present with us when we feel barren, when things feel fruitless, when hope is waning. Jesus comes and says, do not be afraid. Jesus calls us out into the deep waters of our anxiety and our fear and is standing beside us as we cast our nets. With Jesus, there is hope for unknown abundance. the promise of life newly full, just as surely full as those fishermen's nets. And so this day, Jesus invites us, invites you, and invites me to follow him into the deep waters of our lives, to trusting that he is with us and that he leads us on the path to liberty in God's love. Let us faithfully follow, allowing God to use us for God's purposes in building God's kingdom in this place. Let us say yes to the invitation to follow Jesus wherever he leads, and to accept his words of comfort and hope, embracing the abundant life to which Jesus calls us. Amen.